Good morning. So encouraging to see everyone here today, especially if you're visiting with us. We're so glad you've come to be with us and worship with us this morning. We hope that every chance you get to come in the future, you'll be come back and join us. If you will be turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 45, I'll be reading there in just a moment. But before we get to Genesis 45, most of you probably are familiar with the life of Joseph. Joseph was one of 12 sons of Jacob, and Joseph was, I guess you would say, his daddy's favorite. He was the firstborn son of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel, you know, the one he had to work for to get. And Jacob even gave Joseph something that we all are familiar with, that coat of many colors. But that kind of became a symbol, if you will, to his brothers of the favoritism, I think, that Jacob showed to Joseph. In time, Joseph's brothers caused a lot of trouble for him. And because they hated him and resented him and were envious of him, it got to the point where they were thinking of killing him. It was the oldest son of Jacob, Reuben, who actually stepped in at that point and spared that from happening. So instead, they sold Joseph into slavery and faked his death to his father, their father. All this happened to Joseph when he was only 17 years old. Joseph was taken completely out of the country where he lived and taken to Egypt and sold as a slave to a man of influence and authority there named Potiphar. After a while, Joseph proved himself to be trustworthy to Potiphar, and Potiphar actually gave him many responsibilities and made him the manager of his house. But one day all that turned because Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and seduced him, and Joseph, not wanting to not only betray the trust of Potiphar, but more importantly, not sin against God, rejected her and ran away. Potiphar's wife then falsely accused Joseph, and as a result, despite Joseph doing the right thing, he was put in prison. Joseph spent many years in prison being falsely accused, till Pharaoh had a dream one day that no one could interpret. And God gave the power to Joseph to interpret that dream. And to make a long story short, because I'm leaving out a lot of details, because I'm really not wanting to get in a detailed study of the life of Joseph this morning. But to give you a little bit of background, Joseph is called to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, and God reveals the meaning of that dream to him. And Joseph finds favor with Pharaoh because he was able to interpret his dream. And Joseph is put over all the land of Egypt. Only Pharaoh himself was considered higher in authority than Joseph. So we fast forward many years later, and Joseph's backstabbing brothers show up in Egypt. They bow before him, not even realizing who they were bowing before, not even recognizing that this was their brother Joseph. And they're there to ask to buy food because there's a 7-year famine that is going on that they're in the middle of, and Joseph is in control of the grain. And that's another story in and of itself that we won't get into this morning. But the tables have turned. Joseph, the one who was once thrown in a pit, life-threatened, and sold into slavery by his brothers, now stands before these same brothers that did those things to him. And Joseph now has the power to do whatever he wants to do to his brothers. The tables have turned. It's time for revenge, right? It's time to get even, right? Well, let's read from Genesis chapter 45, beginning in verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself because all those who stood by him. And he cried, having everyone go out from me. And there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. That's probably an understatement. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you. For there are still 5 years of famine to come. And you and your household and all that you have would be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen. And you must hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all of his brothers and wept on them, and afterward his brothers talked to him. Come closer to me. Do not be dismayed. Go get my father. I will take care of you. This was not the words of revenge. This was not the words of, I'll get back with them, I'll show them. They shouldn't have treated me like that. Words of forgiveness and love that we see in Joseph. It is one of the most remarkable stories of forgiveness that's recorded for us in the Bible. After being sold as a slave and sent away from home to a foreign land for many years, Joseph graciously forgives his brothers. This morning I'd like us to consider Joseph's forgiveness and what went into Joseph's attitude of forgiveness to his brothers. Because you see, this is the kind of forgiveness that we should be willing to offer others in our life as well. First of all, when we think about the Joseph forgiveness, we say that it was a sincere forgiveness. This was not just Joseph saying, yeah, I forgive you. It goes beyond that. You know, sometimes you might tell your kids if they do something to someone, you might say, well, you need to go and tell them you're sorry. And the kid maybe doesn't really feel sorry for what they do, but because they've been told to, what do? They'll go and say, sorry. And it doesn't sound like it's very sincere because it's not. But we do that anyway. Well, here with Joseph, it wasn't just a, yeah, I forgive you. Let's move on. Go on. It was much more than that. He really meant it. Sincere forgiveness is more than just words. Joseph sincerely forgave his brothers. He tells them, come close to me. He wanted them near him. He tells them that I'm going to do good things for you. I'm going to give you a good place to live. I'm going to supply the things that you're going to need to get through this famine. It was more than just saying, I forgive you, but the actions that followed that show that Joseph loved and was forgiving of his brothers. It wasn't empty words, but it was a real intent to reconcile with his brothers. And forgiveness without an attempt to reconcile is not really forgiveness at all. It goes beyond just saying the words, but it goes to our actions that follow. Do we really forgive those that have wronged us? Well, how do we treat them? Do we continue to show them love, or do we just say we forgive them, but nothing really changes in our actions toward them? So number one, when we see Joseph's forgiveness, it is sincere forgiveness. It's more than just words, but it's actions that follow. Joseph's forgiveness is also a complete forgiveness. Joseph didn't just claim forgiveness and then say, but you know what? I'm kind of putting y'all on probation here. You better not mess up anymore, but I'll forgive you for now. No, it was complete forgiveness. He told them, hurry, go get Dad, basically. Go do that. Bring your families. Bring my father. Bring everything that you have, because I'm going to take care of you. True forgiveness doesn't hold a grudge. Have you ever heard of loan forgiveness? We hear that sometimes in the news about giving loan forgiveness. What does that mean? Well, it means that debt is no longer charged to you. That debt is canceled. Loan forgiveness. Well, that's the type of forgiveness that Joseph gave here to his brothers. The debt was canceled. The things that they had did that had wronged him, it was canceled. It was like it didn't even happen. He forgave them. True forgiveness cancels all debts. We can't say we forgive someone and then try to make them pay for what they've done. That's not how true forgiveness works. When we look at the forgiveness that Joseph offered, it was complete forgiveness. Joseph also was able to forgive because he looked beyond himself. Joseph took a wide view. He looked at the big picture. He forgave his brothers because he understood that this wasn't just about him. Notice in verse 5, as we read just a moment ago, he says, God sent me before you to preserve life. Then if you look at verse 7, he says, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth. Again in verse 8, he says, now therefore it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me the father of Pharaoh. You see, what he understood was the plan of God was behind all these things that had happened to Joseph. And it was a strange way, I guess, that Joseph ended up in Egypt and ended up in the place, the position that he was. It was kind of strange the way that it happened, but what Joseph understood was that the providence of God was working in every bit of it. And that God had put him in Egypt and in that place to stand before his brothers that day. And it was by the providence and the will of God that all these things happened. Why did it happen? Well, for one, so Joseph would be able to save his family. And by the way, that was quite important because it was through his family, through this family, that Christ himself would come into the world. But not only that, we see that Joseph was allowed to benefit many others, those in the region who were struggling because of this famine. Looking beyond himself made it easier for Joseph to forgive, knowing the good that he was able to bring about for others. To have Joseph's forgiveness, we must step back from the insults and the hurt feelings that we have and not have a narrow and short-sighted view. That will keep us from having true forgiveness. We'll be able to see how even seemingly bad things can, with the providence of God, bring about good. And that was the case here. Joseph's forgiveness looks at the big picture. Joseph's forgiveness looks beyond self. I think we also see that Joseph had a determined heart to forgive. A determined heart to forgive. Look back in Genesis chapter 41 for a moment. In verse 51 and 52, it tells us that Joseph had two sons. In verse 51, and this was before, remember, that he encountered his brothers in Egypt. But even before he comes across his brothers in Egypt, it says here in verse 51, Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. And then he had a second son. He named Ephraim. And it says, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Again, this was before his brothers came. But we see that Joseph had already forgiven them. By the time they arrived, it seems that Joseph had really already dealt with this in his heart. He named his son, God has made me forget all my troubles. He named his son what meant, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. It seems that Joseph has kind of already put all this stuff behind him. And he is already, even before he meets his brothers, forgiven them for what has happened. You know, it's so easy to focus on the negative. Watch the news sometimes. How much positive do you hear there? Everybody wants to focus on the bad things, on the negative. When we look at the life of Joseph, man, there was plenty of negatives that he could have focused on. The pain of being sold by his brothers. The grief of being separated from his father. Being falsely accused and put in prison unjustly. You know, we could go on and on with the negatives that Joseph faced in his life. But he was determined to forget about all those things. He made a conscious choice to not focus on the negative things in his life and not concentrate on what brought him to those things. And that's why he could forgive his brothers. We could do the same when we experience tragedies in life. There comes a time where we have to make a choice about it. What am I going to do with this? Are we going to have a determined heart to see the positive, maybe even in the bad things? Are we going to have a determined heart to forgive? How am I going to let those things affect me? You could choose to live in the past. You could choose to feel sorry for yourself. Or you could choose to move on. The birth of Joseph's son, you know, it didn't remove the scars of the old wounds that Joseph had received and those things that he had suffered. But what it did, it reminded him of the blessings that he receives from God. So he chose to focus on those blessings. He chose to focus on the good and on the positive. He chose to forgive. Something else I noticed about Joseph's forgiveness is that the forgiveness seeks to comfort. Joseph encourages and reassures his brothers. Notice again in verse 5. As he says, now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Joseph understood that his brothers, maybe they're going to feel guilty now about what had happened and what they had done. And he said, don't feel guilty. Not only is he forgiving them, he says, you know what? I don't want you to beat yourself up over this. I don't want you to feel guilty. Don't be angry with yourself. Don't be sad. Wow. What an attitude we see. You know, when someone wrongs us, is that the attitude that we have? Or do we want them to feel bad? Do we want them to feel guilty? Joseph didn't want his brothers to suffer. Despite all that happened, Joseph still loves his brothers. Don't be grieved. I don't want us to hate each other, Joseph says. He still loved his brothers. Later on in Genesis chapter 50, if you'll flip over a few pages there, this was when their father Jacob died. And Joseph's brothers were a little bit afraid at that point because they thought, well, maybe he's just being nice to us as long as our father's alive. But now that Jacob's gone, now maybe he's going to bring the hammer down now. And so they were again kind of worried about what was going to happen. But in Genesis 50 and verse 20, again, the reassuring message of Joseph to his brothers. Actually, beginning in verse 19, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph said it was God's will. And it was God's will that Joseph endured the suffering that he did. He realized that this was all part of God's plan. And he sees the good that God meant for all this. And he wants his brothers to understand that as well. don't beat yourselves up over this. This was God's plan. Joseph's forgiveness looks to comfort and encourage those who maybe even did you wrong. Now, is that easy to do? Not always. But that's why this is such a remarkable story of forgiveness. And finally, we see with Joseph's forgiveness that it lets go of the past. Joseph did not say, well, before I forgive you, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about what happened. And Joseph didn't look to assign blame for all that came about. He didn't say, well, I'm going to forgive you, but we need to kind of rehash what happened and make clear exactly the facts, and everybody needs to take responsibility for what they did. Joseph doesn't do any of that. He just says, I forgive you. He doesn't insist they take responsibility even for what they had done. In Genesis 50 and verse 19, we just read, he says, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? Joseph says that he's not going to put himself in the position of God to be judge over them. That's not what he should do. It's only God anyway that probably knows exactly what would happen many years ago, because this has been like 30 years later. Now, do you think if they really started talking about exactly what happened and tried to establish all the facts of all the events that happened over 30 years ago, that they would all have agreed with exactly how that happened? In reality, it's probably only God that really knows exactly what's happened, as they would be coming from many different perspectives. And do you see how that kind of attitude, and if they did that, could hurt maybe that reconciliation and cause it maybe to not even happen? So Joseph doesn't go back through all that. He just says, I forgive you. Let the past be the past. Let go of it. What's done is done, and there's no need to rehash history. I forgive you. It's God's place to judge. It's my place to forgive. And that's the principle that Joseph lived by. That's Joseph's forgiveness. And the last thing is that Joseph's forgiveness forgets. Joseph's forgiveness forgets. We've heard forgive and forget. Remember, he named Manasseh. What meaning of Manasseh is, God has made me forget. And you know, that's what God promises to do for us when he forgives us, is to remember our sins no more. When we think of forgetting, though, it's, you know, we think of completely putting something out of our minds. Well, we no longer recall it. And honestly, that's something we really don't have the ability to do. At least not intentionally. I think there's plenty of things I forget, but not because I want to. It's really impossible to totally put something out of our mind when we don't recall it at all. But in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9, Proverbs 17 and verse 9, it says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. This idea of forgetting is that we don't repeat things. We don't keep bringing them up. That's the idea of forgetting when it comes to our forgiveness. While we can't give ourselves selective amnesia to put something completely out of our minds, we do have the power to not speak of an incident anymore, to not keep bringing it up, to not bring it up to the person who wronged us, to not go and talk to other people about it, and not to dwell on it ourselves and keep thinking over and over about it. Joseph's forgiveness forgives and forgets. Joseph wasn't going to bring it up later on. As we already saw when his father died, you know, they were worried. Now is the time he's going to go back. Now is the time he's going to bring it all up again. And the message of Joseph was the same as it was before. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to supply what you need. I'm going to give you what you need. And he spoke kindly to them. Joseph's forgiveness forgets. Our opportunity to forgive, in most cases, probably aren't going to be the dramatic way that Joseph experienced with his brothers. I mean, a member of your family is probably never going to sell you into slavery. And I hope some of the kids here are listening, not listening and thinking, hey, can we do that? Someone we love may never desire to kill us. What we're going to frequently face, though, is probably smaller wrongs, hurtful words, more than maybe physical attacks. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, whoever said that was dead wrong. Words do hurt. We understand words hurt. And sometimes we can let those things get the best of us. But those are things that we have to let go. And we have to be willing to forgive people when we face such things. You know, some, though, do face things, maybe more like what Joseph faced. Some live with the weight of abuse or neglect from many, many years ago. Some have emotional traumas from many, many years ago that maybe is still with them. Maybe it's criminal behavior that leaves physical and lasting scars. There's some that maybe can look at this with Joseph and maybe feel a little bit closer to it than maybe even I, because I haven't really felt those things. But the point is, we must be willing to have Joseph forgiveness. The kind of forgiveness that lets go. The kind of forgiveness that is good not only for forgiving the person that has wronged us, but it's good for ourselves too. It's good for our own mental health. And likewise, it's what God expects of us to do. Whatever the case, may we learn Joseph forgiveness. May we let go of the past and live in the present, have hope for the future. Now, we've talked about forgiveness to one another, but the greatest forgiveness is what God gives us for our sins. The scripture reading from earlier came from Matthew chapter 18, and Peter thought he was being generous when he came to Jesus, and he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Should I do it seven times? He thought he was being generous to do it that many times. And the answer that Jesus gave him is no, not seven times, but seven times 70. And Jesus wasn't saying literally, okay, 490 times, that's how many times you forgive. No, that wasn't the message. It was basically as many times as it takes. You forgive your brother. And Jesus goes on then to tell that parable, to make the point of how much we've been forgiven of by God compared to our willingness to forgive other people. And it doesn't matter what we forgive and how many times we forgive other people, it's still a drop in the bucket compared to what God has forgiven us of. And here's the thing. Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't stop forgiving at seven times? I think we'd all be in trouble. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and are subject to our Lord's invitation, and you need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.